You're listening to Vatican Radio. Anglican and Catholic theologians meeting in Toronto, Canada this week have agreed on the publication of their first Archic 3 document entitled Towards a Church Fully Reconciled. The volume, which is likely to be published this autumn, uses the receptive ecumenism approach to look at the limitations within each communion and see how one church can help the other grow towards the fullness of faith. The third Anglican Roman Catholic International Commission, or Archic, is holding its sixth annual meeting from May the 11th to the 19th, hosted by the Anglican Sisters of St. John the Divine in Toronto. The 18 members of the Commission have completed work on the first part of their mandate, exploring tensions between the local and universal church within the two communions, and are continuing discussions on a second volume, looking at how Anglicans and Catholics make difficult moral and ethical decisions. To find out more about the meeting, I spoke to the two co-chairs, Catholic Archbishop Bernard Longley of Birmingham in the UK, and New Zealand Archbishop David Moxon, Director of Rome's Anglican Centre.
We're about to publish this year our first book, which has already been agreed, Towards a Church Fully Reconciled, and now we're looking to a second book, which will be on ecclesiology and ethics. And we've just had a first look at the substantive draft, which will be lots more iterations, lots more work. But it's been quite exciting, really, to see already how user-friendly I think it'll be, how readable it'll be. We're very encouraged by feedback we got from the Canadian local ARC group looking at this draft, and that's got a number of young people on it, men and women, Anglicans and Catholics, people from different cultural backgrounds reviewing our work, and I think that's helped us to make it a more third millennium book, a more appropriate text for this particular decade.
So can you give us any kind of sneak preview about this book, about any kind of surprises that perhaps people won't be expecting that have come out of these past years of meetings that you've been having together?
Yes, I think the surprise, although it's not new to us and it's probably not new to people who study receptive ecumenism, it may be a surprise to the general reader. And that is, it will clearly say that we need to be converted by each other to greater and greater consonance with the gospel, to greater and greater adaptability and mission to our modern context, and that in the conversation we have, showing each other our wounds, our limitations, our weaknesses, we might come to each other's assistance and help each other grow more fully into the fullness of the stature of Christ. In other words, we need each other. In other words, the long journey towards organic union, which is a long journey ahead of us. We need to be frank about that, and there's no surprises there. The goal of organic union is over the horizon. It's not on the horizon, but that long journey, a pilgrimage is the word we're using this morning, pilgrimage will involve a lot of metamorphosis, a lot of evolution as we listen to each other. And for example, in the gift of authority, in Archic 2 document, it said that we should look more as Anglicans at universal global consensus and networks. It said that the Roman Catholic Church should look more at synods. And strangely enough, that's precisely what's happened. Catholics experimented with a huge synod recently. The Anglicans are experimenting with universal consensus as we speak. And so we're very encouraged, really, by the inch-by-inch progress that we see around us. The Spirit is always active.
It looks at this stage as if everybody is on board for the approach of this document, which contrasts somewhat with the previous agreed statements of Archic's first two phases. But there's a sense among us, too, that now is an opportunity to do something which is both builds upon the tradition of Archics 1 and 2, but actually offers a fresh approach. And that's what we're hoping to, particularly through the prism of receptive ecumenism.
Can you explain a little more what you mean by this document will contrast with the first two archic approaches?
I think actually in mentioning receptive ecumenism, the opportunity that this affords us to look at the reality of life within each of our two communions in such a way that we also look with a critical eye too at where we fall short within our own, within each of our communions, and in the light of the ecumenical dialogue, to be able to see ways forward, which in themselves constitute something of agreement between us. So, in this, the document we're considering at the moment, looking at the nature of the church as local and universal communions, to see what are the challenges within each of the communions as we understand them, and how the experience and the wisdom and the knowledge within each other's communion can help us to look at those challenges, to meet them, and in so doing actually drawing closer together, not only in the principles upon which our ecclesial life is founded, but also in the practice, the way in which that life is experienced and lived.
Pope Francis, of course, has been talking a lot over this past year about the relationship between local and universal, about the need for less centralization, more decision-making delegated to local churches. Is that likely to be reflected in this document?
Yes, it is, in fact. And in fact, we're aware also that it's a theme which actually goes back some way in Pope Francis' predecessors too, to the insights of the Second Vatican Council. The concern that there should be a proper balance between the full reality of the church as it is within the local church, within the diocese, and the universal nature of the church and the interrelatedness of particularly the way in which Roman Catholics express our understanding of the magisterium, the gift of teaching authority to the church, but then the challenge of the way in which that is actually shared with the wider church and the way in which it's received. So that would be a particular perspective within the Roman Catholic experience.
Archbishop David, this, of course, is also an important year for Anglican-Catholic dialogue, isn't it, as you mark the 50th anniversary of the first official contacts between a Pope and an Archbishop of Canterbury and the setting up of the original archic group. I'm wondering how much this is also influencing the conversation there.
In that time frame you mentioned, October 5, 6 and 7, there will be 36 Roman Catholic and Anglican bishops, pairs of bishops, coming together in San Gregorio Arcelio, in the presence of the Pope and the Archbishop of Canterbury, to be mandated, prayed for and blessed, to go out and demonstrate the partnerships that are possible in mission, in justice, in certain forms of liturgy. And that'll be a high point that we can all measure ourselves from, that role modelling between the Archbishop of Canterbury and the Pope on brotherly love, brotherly cooperation, role modelling between these 36 pairs of bishops, going back out into the world saying, what unites us is greater than what divides us. No one of us has got it all together, but together each one of us can share it all, and giving it our very best efforts and prayers as Christ commanded us to do.
Archbishop Bernard, last time we spoke, you also talked about Pope John Paul II's ecumenical encyclical, Ut Unum Sint, and his appeal to other churches to help find an understanding of papal ministry. Are we any closer then, do you think, to seeing further developments or responses from others, in this case the Anglican Communion?
Our whole dialogue actually draws considerable encouragement from that appeal by Pope St. John Paul II in Ut Unum Sint, and we would see our work actually as continuing very much within the tradition and the aspirations that the appeal that he made, the request that he made, as being part of that whole flow of what he set in place. So there is a consonance there, certainly. I think the other thing that maybe Bishop David will want to say something about our experience here in Canada too, with the opportunity to meet with one of the national Anglican Roman Catholic dialogues, Canada ARC, and there's some very fruitful things that have come out of that experience.
Well, we're literally in the middle of a community. The Sisters of St. John the Divine, who are an Anglican order, have been in it since the 19th century in Canada, a very extraordinary community of women who are our hosts, and we go to the Divine Office with them, daily Eucharist and so on. And they have very strong ecumenical links with the Roman Catholics locally. And we're going to a meal with the local Catholic bishops and the local Anglican bishops. We have been at the St. Michael's University, the Catholic University here. We're going to the Anglican Cathedral on Sunday. And so we're very much being influenced by that positive relationship that is here in Canada. And I think that's partly why the local Canada ARC, the local Canada Anglican Roman Catholic Commission, is so active and so interested in what we do.
My thanks there to Archbishop David Moxon, Director of the Anglican Centre in Rome, and Catholic Archbishop Bernard Longley of Birmingham in the UK.